Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Hill House.
That would be a little weird. One of my best friends is a Hill House.
I know Justin.
Mr. Justin Hillhouse.
And we met him at Two Brothers that time.
We did. I'm guessing Hillhouse is not anywhere near where all the Hillhouses are from that I know.
It's in Webster County. Where are the Hillhouses from?
Webster County.
No, it's in Cahoma. So.
Cumberland area. That's a big Hillhouse country.
Well, so is Cahoma County, evidently.
Apparently.
Just north of Bolivar.
Okay.
So. Wherever you are in our great state,
there's no way you could have mispronounced Hill House.
Hal Hussey.
Right.
Could be Hal Hussey. I don't know for sure.
Somebody will let you know. Don't worry about it.
Patel will know us. Tell us. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Space Brew Coffee each and every morning. We'll buy him a shirt that says Lee Patel.
Lee Patel.
Did you go to Rick's Saturday night and see Patel and the Wheelers? You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just a click away, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. When I say everything, they do mean everything. The stuff in this flyer, that I encourage you to reach out to Cam Baker, if nothing else, just to get this flyer and get an idea of what all Pip Printing and Signs can do for your business. The stuff that they can do, not just for mailers and not just for brochures and catalogs and things like that, but the signage they can put in your building is going to attract new customers and keep current customers coming in. You know, it's a big part of a business is the ambiance. You know, when you walk into a business, you want it to be bright, you want it to be colorful. Pip Printing and Signs can do exactly that for you. If you're a Mississippi State fan, this is a deal you cannot pass up. 10% of your sale with Pip Printing and Signs goes straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. But hey, if you're a Rebel or a Golden Eagle and you just want to work with the best printing and signs company in the state of Mississippi, you need to give Pip Printing and Signs a call. Call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. That's his personal number, not an office number. You're going to get straight to the top. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Glad to see you guys are taking the advice there and getting after some of this interlocking gear that I've been tweeting out. That's the only way. That is what's going to get people's attention. When month after month those reports come in to Zach Selman, to the people at MSU Athletics, and say, look, you know, the stuff we're selling, the script is selling okay, but the interlocking is selling, you know, they're running out. That's when you know you're going to get somebody's attention. So keep doing it. Keep it up. Keep buying it. And keep getting it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. I'll be at College Corner in Oxford in a few weeks. So unfortunately, no interlocking MSU gear will be found at that particular location, unfortunately.
I wouldn't imagine it would be.
And no. Maybe an MSU picture will be on the wall from Ole Miss scoring a touchdown on Mississippi.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Other than that, there's not a whole lot going on in there. Restaurant Tyler, Starville's flagship restaurant for brunch on Sundays, for dinner, for lunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. If you're a lunch person, and I am, I like to go out for lunch. I like to get a blue plate, and the best one in town, maybe the best in the entire state of Mississippi, is available to you at Restaurant Tyler. Tremendous selection of meat and veggies, great cornbread. But if you're not a blue plate person, they've got burgers, they've got sandwiches, they've got a lot of great options there for you. So if you want to grab lunch in Starkville, get the best lunch you can. Get it at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and let them show you how they're going to help you manage your money. You did the hard work. You got the money to the bank. Let Priority One Bank handle it from there. Let them show you how to invest, how to manage your money, and how to build your financial future for you and your family for years and years to come. If you live in Central Mississippi, there's a Priority One Bank location near you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. First weekend of preseason camp is in the books. We haven't gotten the schedule for this week, have we? Have we got
not yet.
Well, that's a little, you know, what's the holdup? It's a little late in the day here. I got to know what I'm doing tomorrow. I already know. I can just go ahead and predict that we will speak to Lebby on Tuesday when I can't be there. So I'll just go ahead and make that prediction. I know for a fact it will happen.
I believe that we are going to get another practice this week.
That we'll be able to attend?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that goes. You got to speak to some players on Friday and Saturday after practice. A pretty good selection of players, and Blake Chapin was among them. Your first real opportunity, you know, in a post-practice situation to be able to talk to the Bulldog quarterback. What did he have to say, and what were some of the overriding thoughts from everybody you talked to over the past couple of days?
I wasn't there on Friday to see Chapin.
It hurts when I set everything up. I'm like, all right, here he goes. He's about to give us
maybe if you kept up with your friend and you knew my daily routine.
I don't, though. I don't know any of my friends' daily routine. I know my wife's.
All you care about is yourself.
I know my children's daily routines. I don't know my what's my daily routine, Robbie? What have I done today?
You woke up.
Did something today. What did I do?
You woke up. You probably watched soccer.
No.
And then you started cooking food.
No. Cooked yesterday. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is a different Sunday than usual.
Yeah, I stopped cooking on Sundays because we do this podcast on Sundays, and I'm always having to interrupt the cooking process. So I was like, I'm going to cook from now on Saturdays, so I'm not inconveniencing Robbie by making him wait till 7 o'clock to record. So I did
good.
That for
you. Thank you.
As a friend. So I went and bought some new shoes today, Robbie. Look here. See? I got some. Can you see them? I got some new shoes on. I got some Nikes. Had to get some.
Congratulations. Happy
That's
for
what
you.
I did today. Since you know so much about my routine. Are we
I
done
can tell
now?
You your daily routine almost every other day. Today you decided to change up your routine.
I changed nothing.
That's different.
I changed nothing. I'm basically.
You did change it. You just said that.
I got up. I lounged around for a couple hours. I played some NCAA. I ate lunch.
What?
I went shopping.
Lounged around, played video games, and ate? That doesn't sound like you.
But you didn't say that. You didn't say that when I said, hey, what's my routine? I put it on a tee for you, and you didn't hit it. You whiffed.
Your routine is something that you do routinely.
Yeah.
This was a change. This was not a routine.
Was it? Was it
real?
You
know what? Shut up.
What a great rant that was.
Your shoes are stupid.
I like my shoes. I haven't owned a pair of Nikes in years. I couldn't tell you the last time. But my plantar fasciitis has finally cleared up a little bit after 2 months of not walking. So I'm going to try to go for a walk tomorrow.
I'm sure it'll magically come back.
Yeah, probably will. So we'll just take it easy. We got to do something though. We got to stay on the right path. Some MSU sports would be nice at this point. You talked to the players on Saturday.
Yes, I was not there Friday, like I said, but which I think was Chapin, Ethan Miner, and Seydou Traore.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one more. Yesterday,
the receiver wasn't there. Was it Mosley?
Jordan Mosley. Yeah. That's right. Yesterday, we talked to John Lewis, Albert Reese, which is we kind of routinely talk to those two,
mm-hmm.
and Stone Blanton.
Mm-hmm.
And was there one more yesterday? Yeah, there was one more. Shows what kind of impression I got from Hunter Washington. And
what a show.
Found out a good bit about the defense. I really enjoyed hearing from Stone Blanton. That's the first time I believe that I've been able to talk to him, might have in the spring, can't remember, but just, you know, kind of getting their thoughts on the linebackers and even in the secondary with Hunter Washington and kind of their early impressions on the coaching staff and the scheme and all that. Hunter Washington is really excited about this scheme and what they're going to be able to do defensively. And, you know, the more I talk to people about the linebackers, I'm starting to feel a lot better about that group. And maybe that's just you usually hear guys talk about the good things that are happening and things like that. And, you know, they're not going to delve into the issues that they have. And they might not even see issues that we might see kind of crack on the surface when the season starts. But the more I talk to those guys and the more I talk to people that are playing against them or the coaches that are coaching them, I think that the linebackers are going to be solid this year. And I really think the safeties are going to be probably the strength of the defense. Just early thoughts on that. And, you know, Hunter Washington's a guy that's taken a major step this year. I think one of the big things is it looks like they're going to put him in position to succeed and kind of bring out his strengths and not, you know, there were times last year where he was kind of put on an island against, you know, a quick and shifty slot guy. And, you know, people remember whenever he was going up against Malik Nabers and what happened there.
Yeah.
I think that this defense is going to probably use him a little bit better. And he's been one of the guys that has routinely been talked about when you talk to coaches and people as one of the standouts there in the defensive backfield. And always like to hear that. I always like to hear, you know, things that are kind of cemented when you're talking about the guys that are standing out or certain positions. When we're this getting this close to the season, which, you know, it feels like we're just starting training camp and all that, but in reality we're less than a month away from the season. I want to start hearing about guys that, you know, so and so brings it every day. We know that he's going to give us a good year, whatever. That's kind of what I'm hearing so far on Hunter Washington. He's been one of the most consistent guys on that defense, really dating back to the spring. And that's what you're looking for. This is a defense that has so many question marks. I want to be sure that you're going to be in good hands with some of these guys and not coming up, you know, driving up to Davis Wade Stadium for game one on August 31st and thinking, who the heck's starting today? You know, and yeah. I think Hunter Washington answers one of those questions for you on defense. So it was nice to hear from him. And then, you know, Stone Blanton, it seems like he's really stepped into a leadership role for Mississippi State. Even being a guy that hasn't played here, the fact that he's played in the SEC for a couple of years now is a big deal to me. Playing in the SEC is playing in the SEC. Doesn't matter really what defense you were playing on, what team you were on. He was still going up against, you know, Georgia and Alabama's and the, you know, LSU's of the world. So I think that it's really nice to have him on this defense just because of that experience. And I was impressed by him too. Hadn't been able to talk to him much since high school days. It was nice to hear from him and get his thoughts on everything.
And so, and I read all these interviews myself, and we're going to go down a path that we don't normally go down here on Thunder and Lightning, especially not with me, but
you're positive.
Yeah. What if the defense is better than we think it's going to be? That's the best case scenario for Mississippi State football, right? Because I feel like the offense is in capable hands. You know, when you look at Jeff Lebby and you look at his track record, you should buy into the idea that this team is going to be good offensively. Right, that feels like – I'm not saying it's a given. It's not a given, but statistically it feels very probable. Defensively is where we have – and questions isn't the right word because you have questions every year. Every team has questions. It's unknowns. It's – we haven't seen these guys outside – you mentioned Blanton, right? Hunter Washington has played some. Demonte Ellis has a lot of experience. We'll give him that. Corey Ellington has a good bit of experience, sure. Bryce Pollock got a little bit. But for the most part, your depth chart is made up of a lot of guys who have not played here at the SEC level. But if we want to go, if we want to extrapolate even further back, these are guys that were, you know, there were a lot of four-star guys on this roster. And I know that those recruiting rankings, they don't mean much once you get to the field if you haven't done anything. But at some point in their football career, people thought these guys were talented. You've got a lot of guys who have a lot of offers from around the SEC. And the thing that we've said a few times here on this podcast, and we'll reiterate it here, is that this defense doesn't have to be 1999 or 2018 for this team to be successful. If they're a top 80 defense, you're going to go to a bowl game, and you're going to probably have a great chance to win more than six at a top 80 defense, because you should be a top 25, 30 offense. And those two things combined tend to lead to wins. So when you talk about this linebacker group, it does have some depth and it does have some guys that are talented. When you mention the safety group, that's a place where some guys have played some SEC football from Mississippi State. We forget a lot about Jacoby Albert, who played a full year at Kentucky. Sort of the same thing you were saying there with Blanton, right? That, you know, playing in the SEC is playing in the SEC. Jacoby Albert has played in the SEC. So there are a couple of spots there where you feel really good. Demonte Russell is a guy on the defensive line who has that SEC experience. Cornerback, that's the, you know, probably the one weak spot in terms of experience. But you feel everybody who talks about Kelly Jones talks about him like he is going to be a big-time player for Mississippi State. We'll see if that comes to pass. I'm not saying you should be optimistic about this defense. I'm saying there are some reasons, if you really look at the depth chart, there are some reasons to be optimistic.
Maybe it's just the fact that everybody has just made this defense out to be on the way to being the worst in MSU history, but it's almost at the point now where, like, it's not going to surprise me at all if it's better than most of us think it is. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's going to be historically bad or anything like that. I don't think it's going to be great defense. It might not even be, you know, very good. But I don't think it has to be. That's been the point that we've made this entire offseason, basically. It doesn't have to be a top 25 defense. It doesn't have to be a top 50 defense. Like, can you just be good enough to where you're getting off the field regularly, you're not allowing touchdowns, you know, every other drive, you're bending but not breaking? I know people don't like hearing that, but a defense that can just get off the field every now and then and let your offense score some points. That's kind of what you're looking for here. And I think it's starting to come into the picture a little bit. I still don't know what that defensive line is going to look like. That's still a group that, you know, there's definitely some pieces there that I like. I like some of the young guys. I think Travion Williams has a chance to be really good this year. Calvin Dinkins and guys like that that we've been talking about for a while. You know, if they're all healthy, this could be a better than average year for them. But there's still a lot of questions that have to be answered. I just think that we're starting to get a clear picture about what this defense is going to look like. Talking to Hutzler and some of the other defensive coaches, kind of getting their idea of what they're looking for on the defensive side, talking to some of these players now in the first few weeks. I would love to see just a little more from the team. And, like, I would be okay with just, like, one practice that I could just go out there, see the practice, get my eyes on it, and not be guessing at this point. Because otherwise, I think we're basically just guessing. We don't know anything about this defense.
I would be willing to sign, like, a waiver that says I won't report anything I watch at a scrimmage, just so I can watch the scrimmage and be able to formulate in my mind what I'm going to see, right?
Yeah.
You can't report. Like, if Shapen falls down and he breaks his leg, you can't report that. We'll just get into a group text and some of the Ole Miss fans in it will tell me that he hurt himself, right? That's how that works. And then you go to the message board with that. Idiot.
They could set parameters.
I would be willing to do that if I could just watch the scrimmage so I could have a better idea of what the defense is going to look like. I would be willing to do that. So if you're listening, Brandon, let's work this out.
Well, you know, like there's been coaches before. I think Leach might have been one of them that they basically said you can watch practice, but you can't report injuries.
Right.
You can't video.
No video, no photo. Like, fine.
I think everybody would sign up for that, you know. But, you know, I get it. That's just like, you know, some coaches just don't want distractions, don't want stuff slipping out. I get it. I'm just talking about, you know, for myself, I would love to see what this thing looks like. You know, how I know this, dating back to the spring, and, you know, we saw it. We saw one clip the other day about, you know, I think Craver got stripped or whatever. This defense does have, it seems like, a tendency to make some plays. Whether, I mean, they might get beat on a play, but we've seen some guys stripping the ball. We've seen some guys intercepting passes. We've seen some guys laying big hits. That would be nice. If whatever this defense might lack in experience, or, you know, and even some cases, skill, like they're not able to keep up with somebody out there, whatever, I don't know. They seem to be able to have a knack for the ball or making plays or laying big hits. If you don't have the experience, and you might not have, you know, as much talent as your opposing offense, it'd be nice to be able to be kind of opportunistic and go get a ball and kind of turn a game in that regard.
Who's the player right now that you know, whether the defense as a whole is good or bad, who's the player right now that maybe we're not talking about, you think this guy's going to have a big year? Maybe we are talking about it. If you want to say like a John Lewis, I think that's a real possibility, but is there a player that sort of off the radar for you?
I mean, John Lewis had like 20 tackles last year. Yeah. Like I think he's going to make a huge jump this year. So he's up on that list. You know, somebody like, you know, some of these JUCO guys we're not talking about, Tyler Woodard, Brylon Lanier, those two have not been talked about very often among us, but they're at the top of their position. They appear to be in line to start or competing for starting reps. So those are two that I think people are going to be surprised by this year. You know, I don't know who else might jump out. I think Woodard and Lanier are probably my choices if we're not talking about John Lewis, because I think that's kind of the obvious answer.
Yeah.
Because everybody's in this fan base is talking about John Lewis taking that step.
What about Dontari Russell?
I feel like
State has – it's been a while since Montez Sweat, since there was just a guy who could go get the quarterback for Mississippi State. And I think at that Jack linebacker, Dontari Russell, he's got some potential. I won't be surprised if I won't be overly surprised. I'll be sort of surprised. But if at the end of the season we look up and Dontari Russell is sitting on like 7 or 8 sacks.
Yeah, because, I mean, last year he starts in that Bama game and they just pin his ears back and tell him to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't have to think. He didn't have to do anything. They just said, go get the quarterback. I think that's kind of what you have to do with him. He's one of the few guys that Mississippi State has as like a true pass rusher. And I wonder with him now playing in that linebacker role where he's more often than not going to be standing up, which I don't think is, you know, something that's totally foreign to him, but he can kind of bend a little bit and get around that tackle a lot quicker, I think, standing up than he would be with his fingers on the ground and coming off the ball like that. Which, like I said, he did stand up for Mississippi State at times in the last defense, but this is going to be a little more natural to him. Him being able to stand up and just, like I said, pin his ears back and get after the quarterback, that could be a guy that leads your team in sacks this year. You know, and then, you know, Travion Williams, I still think, is going to have a huge year this year, especially if he's healthy. You got to keep him healthy. I think you're going to get to see a chance to – or to have a chance to see him this year do what he's supposed to do. And they need that on the defensive line for sure. And you know, maybe Demonte Russell has a big year as well.
Let's continue this discussion after the break. Let's move into that. And that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. This weekend, I hope you had some beef. I hope you enjoyed a fantastic steak this weekend. Hope you went out and got a great burger. Robbie and I are going out for a burger later tonight, and it's going to be delicious. You know why? Because burgers are delicious. Now, we talk so much about steaks on the show, as we should. Steaks are great. But burgers, I mean, I am a burger over a hot dog kind of guy as far as American food goes. I feel like the burger is the quintessential American food. That's just me. That's just me. That's just a feeling that I have. So maybe you share it with me. In that case, let's celebrate our great country with a burger. Starkville is a city that has a fantastic selection of burgers. Almost every restaurant has got one. Every restaurant in the state of Mississippi, somebody's got a great burger. Go out and enjoy one today. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. You want to eat the food they have at Two Brothers. You want those smoked wings. You want the prime rib sandwich, the pork rind nachos. You want those things. Well, they've got them for you at Two Brothers. Or if you're in the mood for something a little more sophisticated, a little more refined palate, a fancy sandwich, well, there's only one place in Starkville to get those, and that is at the Older Brother. Every time I'm going, every time Robbie and I have got been having some meetings lately with people, and every time it's like, hey, y'all want to grab lunch? Yeah, sure. Where do you want to go? Yeah, let's go to the Older Brother. I mean, that's happened like three or four times in a row to me at this point. People, the word is out about the Older Brother, and if you haven't been there yet, you need to get there. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother, both great places to grab a bite to eat here in Starkville in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it now for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers with service after the sale. Selling you the gear is no big deal, right? Anybody can sell you a copier. Anybody can sell you a printer. It's who's there for you when that printer goes bad. These are machines, man. They're going to stop working at some point. They're going to jam up. They're going to be a problem. It's the people at Advantage Business Systems that come. They serve you the same day. That's the difference, right? It's not being on hold. I would tell you that a lot of times with Advantage Business Systems, they can solve your problem before a big brand can get you off of hold. Now, that's difference-making right there. Give them a call today, 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, you need to be at Maroon & Co. If you're in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, Maroon & Co. is the best place to go. They have the biggest selection. We just talked to some of the guys over there at Maroon & Co. Last week, and they are about to have a big, brand-new selection of items. All sorts of great stuff with the logos that you guys want. Of course, the Bulldog Initiative, they are the only provider for that. So if you want the gear you see the coaches wearing week after week, you can only find it at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. Where you go to Davis Wade this fall, make sure that you go to Maroon & Co. So are we talking ourselves into this, by the way? Are we just like, they could be good, you know, if this happens, and then they could win 9 games. Is that where are we on that path right this second? Or are we being reasonable to say that this defense can just – I think too many people have already put this defense right there with, like, 2016. That they're just like, oh, they're going to be the worst defense ever. Not to mention the fact that in 2016, going into the season, nobody knew that defense was going to be so bad. That tells you right there it wasn't a talent issue. That was a coaching issue. I feel like
look at the players that were on that defense. Yeah. The next year they were
fine.
I know they added Montez Sweat and guys like that, but
yeah. But even then they were just poorly coached. There's just no question about that. And Sermon's next stop when he was at was he at Louisville next? I think or I forget where he went.
Yeah, they basically traded Ty Grantham for Peter Sermon.
Right, and they were terrible. They were terrible.
They were pumped. The Louisville people were pumped.
Yeah.
That was the most insane thing I've ever seen.
I remember somebody tweeted something like, what is your can't miss bet this weekend? And I said the over on points for whoever Louisville is playing. And somebody was like, what do you mean by that? I was like, just trust me. And I was right. It was a sure bet basically the whole year. So going into that season, nobody had these thoughts that the defense was going to be, you know, historically bad. This season, it seems, before the first game is played, everybody's already resigned themselves to that. And I actually got a text the other day from a national media member. They were like, this defense is going to be one of the worst in school history, right? I'm just like, I mean, it could be, but I don't know that for a fact. I just, you know, I understand why people are down on the defense. I understand why people have questions. I know that there's a lot of unknowns. But again, this team doesn't have to be dominant defensively to be successful in Jeff Lebby's first year. And I feel like that's a point a lot of people are missing.
If they would have hired a defensive coordinator that had been in this league for, you know, 3 to 5 years or more, nobody would be talking about how bad this defense is going to be. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Coleman Hutzler, and I think we've pretty much made him Mississippi State's defensive coordinator at this point. I know there's a co-defensive coordinator thing, but it looks like he is the guy. He kind of appears to be the guy that's probably leading that room. And I could be wrong on that. Matt Barnes may have a lot more input than we think. I don't know. Jeff Lebby, I think, even made a comment the other day that Barnes had the more experience calling plays maybe or something. So they might be working hand in hand. So maybe we're not giving Matt Barnes more credit. I don't know. But anyway, I think the fact that you have, we'll just say you have co-coordinators that are not experienced defensive coordinators anywhere, much less in this league, I think that has a lot to do with it. I think people are looking at that. And like I said, if it was an experienced coordinator here, I don't think as many people would be talking about the fact that Mississippi State basically has a whole new defense. When you look at the players out there, there's like two or three guys that have started, you know, a good bit in the SEC or played a lot of reps. So it's definitely, to me, a mixture. But I think people outside the program, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you have a first-time, like, defensive coordinator calling plays. So, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out. I'm feeling a lot better about it. And I think a lot of times that happens the closer you get to the season. I think people just get a little more optimistic. And maybe that's what's happening here. We were getting pretty optimistic on the team last year. So I don't want to jump the gun and, you know, we get to game one and State gives up 28 points like I did to FCS Southwest or whatever yesterday. That's bound to happen after we talked about how great they are. But I do think that things, like I said, are coming into picture and you're starting to get a better idea of what to expect.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with you on that, that last little part there about how, you know, I got burned last year. Last year was not a good year for predictions for Brian Haydad. Let's recap. Predicted an 8-win season in football. I said that the basketball team would contend for the SEC championship. And then in baseball, I thought, they got no chance to even sniff the postseason. Oh. So
here's my new motto.
Yeah.
Is expect the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Hope or for the expect nothing.
Yeah.
And whatever happens,
mm-hmm.
then it's great. If good things happen from that, then you are pleasantly surprised and you're really excited. But if you expect nothing or you expect the worst, when the worst happens, there's no reason for you to go jump off a bridge or jump out of the press box like I tried to do a few times last year. There's no reason for that to happen. So expect nothing or expect the worst and be pleasantly surprised if it doesn't happen. And you will be a much happier person this fall, this winter, next spring, when the baseball team gets on the field.
A pessimist is never disappointed.
That's right.
People
tell us all the time, you guys are too negative. And the people telling us that have no hair anymore.
Yeah.
Their hair's gone.
Whereas Robbie, look at that. Look at that luscious flow.
Still here.
Look at it.
It's still here. I'm not going to brag about it, though, because the minute I start bragging about it,
you know, wake up tomorrow and you'll be in trouble.
I am getting some gray in my beard, though. I'm getting some Brian Haydad beard spots.
It happens, man. You got a daughter. I mean, go have another one. See where that takes.
When she hits the teenage years, it's really going to be a problem.
It is. It absolutely is a problem for me. I can assure you of that. So, I just look at this team. One of the issues this team is going to have defensively is the schedule, right? Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, and Ole Miss are all, they all should be really, really good offensively. I think Missouri can be really, really good offensively. They certainly have a great receiving core. They got to replace Cody Schrader, but I mean, Cody Schrader was a nobody this time a year ago, and they found him. I got to believe that they can find another guy. And even Texas A&M should be improved offensively this year. I like Connor Wiegman. That's going to be part of the problem for Mississippi State, is that they're going to play really good offensive teams. And that's why, you know, we've been talking about, you know, can they lose these games, you know, 48-35 and things like that, and how that's going to be an improvement for Mississippi State. It's just an odd situation, because it's been a long time for me since I really truly expected Mississippi State to have a good offense, and I expect that this year. You know, I won't be disappointed if the defense is bad, right? I would have been like, well, that's kind of what we thought was going to happen. Even if they're really bad, like if they are sort of 2016, I'll just be like, well, you know, that's sort of the path you go on when you hire a first time guy. And you don't have a ton, you don't have a lot of transfers coming in. I'll totally get it, right? I will be surprised and disappointed and vocal if offensively this team struggles, because you hire Jeff Lebby to do that day one. You expect to be better day one offensively with Jeff Lebby and his system. When you go out and you have the success in the transfer portal that you had on that side of the ball, expect to be successful. So that's an interesting position for the defense to be in. They almost have no pressure on them, right? It's just like, hey, nobody expects it. We talk about that all the time, and you know, sometimes I think it gets overblown, but they really can play sort of stress-free because nobody expects anything from them to begin with.
Yeah. And that's kind of my worry, too, is the offense comes out there this year and is not what Mississippi State signed up for. And then you're starting to say, is this Joe Moorhead 2.0? That's kind of – I feel like – I think you had mentioned it in one of your – an interview or something, maybe on the big show, I can't remember, but you were talking about basically after this year you should have a pretty good idea about what Mississippi State's going to look like under Jeff Lebby. Mm-hmm. And it goes beyond just the wins and the losses. If State's 5-7, that might not tell the story, kind of like Dan Mullen. But we should know if, you know, there's some pieces on the offensive side of the ball that are good enough that they should be able to run Jeff Lebby's offense. It should be looking close to what he wants to do. If that group looks bad this year, then there might be some troubling times ahead.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. If it's kind of like the defense is already expected to be bad this year.
Yeah.
So go out there, play free. Be aggressive, take some chances. Everybody's expecting that group to stink anyways.
We did just receive our info for next week, Robbie. Two practices will be open next week.
Yes.
On Monday and on Friday. Scrimmage on Sunday, and Coach Lebby available to the media on Wednesday and after that scrimmage on Sunday. So that's, I mean, as limited as it is, that's a pretty good setup, right? Two practices to view, two times to talk to the head coach, plus evidently some free food on Monday. I hope I can make it to that. We'll see.
So you were there last year.
I was there last year. This year, I got a errand to run Monday morning, and I don't know if I'll be done by noon. So
yeah, I'm going to be pushing it too because I got to go to Choctaw County is opening their new football stadium this year, so I'm going to go.
Yeah, you got to be there.
Ribbon cutting for that.
There you go. So, all right. So hopefully that, you know, this podcast, you know, we delved into the optimism a little bit, and hopefully we were able to get you guys to think maybe this defense. I mean, like I said, if I can at the end of the season say, yeah, that defense wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be, then we're going to be talking about what bowl game Mississippi State's going to, and that's a low bar to reach, and you have to believe that this staff can do that, and if they can't, you have to move on. But if they can do that and just get better in year two, then you're on the right path. So we'll see. Guys, tomorrow's show, we'll recap a little bit more from practice. We've got an SEC preview tomorrow. It's Texas A&M. We'll get the Aggies out of the way tomorrow. Maybe some baseball stuff to talk about tomorrow. I don't know yet. We'll see. But if not, we'll talk about it something else. Have a good one, guys. Talk to you again on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Hayes. Oh, real quick. I'm sorry. programming note, Robbie, and this is your first year to this. We're gonna have to not do the rumblings this week. I got to go to Hattiesburg on Tuesday. It means I got to leave relatively early. I'll be back relatively late. We may not even have a podcast, but if we do, we're gonna have to record it really early. I don't think we're gonna be able to do the rumbling. So no rumblings this week.
There's
nothing I can do. The Tuesday remote throws me off the loop. So,
did you just go to Hattiesburg?
No.
Or was this the remote that you're going to?
This is the remote I'm going to in Hattiesburg. So,
okay.
And then we got a similar situation in a couple of weeks. We've got one in Perkinston. So maybe a couple no rumblings here in August.
But we'll figure it out.
All right, guys. Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.